Hi, this is Aislinn Antrim from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Study Break, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. Each month, we speak with faculty, administrators, and students themselves to bring you the latest news and trends from pharmacy schools across the country. The pharmacy field is changing every day, and students are at the forefront of innovation. Before we begin, do you know the answer to this pharmacy fact? Which state was the first to require licensure for pharmacists? We'll reveal the answer at the end of the episode. This month, I spoke with Tim Ulbrich, co-founder and CEO of Your Financial Pharmacist and co-author of Seven Figure Pharmacist. We talked about handling the stress of student loans, how to budget for big purchases, and how to approach the new year with your financial wellness in mind. So, Tim, what are some unique financial issues or obstacles that pharmacy students face?
Yeah, I think the grill in the room for most pharmacy students is student loan debt, right? I mean, we look at the national average now for the class of 2021 is pushing north of $170,000. You know, just a little over 10 years ago in 2010, that number was 100,000. So we've seen a very significant rise in the student loan debt. And so today's graduate is often focusing on how can I best repay the student loan debt? And given some of the constraints around pharmacist position, salary, some of the compression there, you know, what does this debt mean for other goals that I want to achieve? So certainly the number one priority, I would say, is student loan debt. And then probably number two to that would be, you know, there's just limited time available as a pharmacy student, as well as limited income, which means that you're often maybe itching to get started with that financial plan and those goals. But you've got other constraints in both time with the academic coursework, of course, experiential rotations, and then just the reality of limited income. And so a great time to be focused on learning so that you can accelerate that plan once you graduate.
As you said, student loans are definitely the first thing that comes to mind for pharmacy students. For students that might just be starting pharmacy school or are even still debating whether they want to pursue pharmacy school, what should they be considering?
Yeah, when it comes to those that are beginning to start pharmacy school or perhaps are in that search, you know, I think one of the most common mistakes that I see folks making that I made myself is we look at that semester tuition, we multiply it by several semesters we're going to be in school, and we think that's kind of the number of debt that we might be working with. And that typically, as many might expect, vastly underestimates the total debt that one is going to incur. And that's because of how the interest is accruing on these loans while they're in school. That also, we tend to underestimate the cost of living expenses and other things, or perhaps overestimate scholarships and things that we might get. And then, of course, there's that interest that's going to accrue while we're paying them back. So all that to say, there's a couple things out in front. You know, if I'm a student who's looking into pharmacy school, I'm really looking at, you know, what is the return on investment of that institution in terms of, you know, what is the quality of that program, the degree, the track record of its graduates? Can I get an in-state, you know, top-ranked program that's going to keep my tuition low? What can I do in terms of keeping those costs of living expenses low? And probably one of the areas I see that is often underutilized would be really leveraging the expertise of a financial aid office and really understanding the benefit packages from a student aid perspective, maximizing loan packages, and then also pursuit of scholarship opportunities that are out there as well.
Once students have done the paperwork, they have the student loans, and they're starting school, how do you recommend they go about budgeting and paying off those loans?
Yeah, and first things first, when somebody graduates, there's what's known as a six-month grace period. And this is the time period from graduation until when you actually start to make that first, you know, real student loan payment, if you will. And I often say it's anything but a gracious time period, because often for pharmacy student loans, that interest is continuing to accrue on your unsubsidized loans during that grace period. So we've got to be ready and we got to be intentional. And that intentionality is really important when it comes to student loans, because the federal student loan system, which I suspect for most that are listening, that's probably most of the student loans that you have or you will have. It is way more complicated than it needs to be, but that's the system that we've been dealt and we've got to get ready in terms of what we have that we're working with. And so there are multiple repayment options that are available in the federal system. There are income-driven repayment options. There are shorter and longer-term options. There's forgiveness clauses, a couple different ones that have different nuances. And then, of course, there's a host of options that are out in the private system through the process of refinancing, which opens the door to even more options to consider. And so in my experience individually and working with thousands of pharmacy graduates on this issue, the decision of which loan repayment plan you pursue, I kid you not, can be the difference of tens of thousands, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the nuances of time period, interest, and some of the forgiveness and non-forgiveness plans. So take home point there is for those that are graduating, making this transition, really understanding all of the options that are out there. I promise you it's a good investment of your time, as painful as it seems in the moment, and really making sure that you're defining and choosing that best repayment option and plan for your personal situation.
Thinking about loans can be really overwhelming, and it can be difficult to think 5 or 10 years ahead when planning for these payments. Do you have any tools or tips to help pharmacy students get that long-term perspective?
Yeah, that's a great point. And decades is relevant here, right? Because the standard repayment plan, so if you do nothing else, choose no other option in the federal system, that's a 10-year repayment plan. So fixed monthly payments, 120 payments or 10 years worth. So we are looking at, for many people, a decade. For some, that will be much longer, and some that might choose a shorter pathway for whatever reason. And I think it's really important here to highlight that student loans, as big as they feel in the moment, student loans is one piece of the financial puzzle. And you will fast forward a day and look back and say, hey, remember that day when I had all these student loans? And at that point, when you're looking back, there's going to be a whole host of new financial priorities that you're going to be working towards, right? Could be accelerating your retirement savings. It could be looking at real estate investing, saving for kids' college, you know, a lot of different things that you're going to be doing. And the reason I mention that is I think when we start to think out at a future point in time, it can be very overwhelming, right? The longer we think out. And some of these issues that are right in front of us, like student loans, can also be paralyzing. And so I encourage folks, start with the vision, start with the why, start with the goals. What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to accomplish? And why is that important, right? Why do we care about this topic of money to begin with? And so one of the activities I like to take folks through is if we fast forward towards the end of your career, 30 to 40 years from now, and we look backwards, what are the things that had to have happened in your mind that you'd say, you know what, I really lived a rich life in terms of not only paying down that student loan debt, but also the other things I wanted to achieve and accomplish throughout my career, both professionally and personally. And that vision, that goal setting, that dream, that why, I think really helps us stay motivated when we've got big issues in front of us like student loans, but we're also looking out towards those long-term goals.
Like anyone else, pharmacy students do want to have some sort of cushion or savings, but that can be especially challenging while you're a student. How can they build up some savings while they're still in school?
Great question. When it comes to savings, you know, especially shorter term savings, when I think of things like emergency funds, rainy day funds, whatever we're going to call them. So we're not talking here about that long-term retirement investment savings. This is something I often felt frustrated by when people would say, you know, you need to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in emergency fund. And you're like, I'm a student and I don't make any income and I'm accruing a whole lot of debt. Like that's not relevant, right? In the moment. And that's a good benchmark of something we want to work towards. But that's the key, right? We've got to work towards it, and we have to take some baby steps today that build momentum and confidence towards that longer term goal. So yes, we're going to put the goal out there, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses for that rainy day fund or that emergency fund. But one tangible goal I encourage students to take in the moment is set up a separate savings account that you're not using currently for your checking or other savings. Call it an emergency fund. And put 25 or 50 bucks or 100 bucks, whatever you can do in the moment to get it established, to identify the purpose and the goal, and to get that momentum going. And that becomes then that visual reminder when you log on to your account of, that's right, I'm trying to achieve this goal of that emergency fund or savings. And so we've got to, again, take some of these big, sometimes overwhelming financial goals in the moment and really digest them into, okay, what's one thing that I can do today that's going to put me on the path towards achieving that goal in the long term?
We're always told to cut down on our coffee habits or avoid going out to eat, but pharmacy students still want to be able to get dinner with their friends or see a movie. What should students be doing in the short term for their financial health?
Yeah. One of the things I encourage students, you know, this is a prime period of time to just learn, absorb as much information as you possibly can. And I know that sounds frustrating, right? Because you want to maybe accelerate that debt repayment plan, focus upon that long-term savings. But the reality is, while you're in school and you're a student, unless you're earning, you know, an irregular amount of money in internships or other types of things, the amount of income that you're earning is going to limit the progress that you can make significantly on some of these other goals. And so learning, I believe, as a student probably has the greatest ROI and return on investment long-term, so that once you've got that six-figure income, you've got that big shovel to work with, we can now really accelerate because we're ready, we're motivated, and we have the tools and resources that are going to help us achieve all the different goals that we want to be achieving. The other thing that I think about here on top of learning is that we got to stop the bleeding. What do I mean by that? So for folks that, you know, maybe have become overwhelmed by that student loans, have kind of lost track of, you know what, it is what it is at this point, it's 140, what's another 20? That another 20 matters a whole lot when we look at the 10, 20 years we're going to be paying it off. Also stopping the bleeding on things like credit card debt, right? Interest that's going to accrue, compound, we're going to have to pay off into the future. So these small micro decisions can have a big impact when we get to the point of actually beginning to achieve those goals with a more sizable income in the future.
Are you a pharmacy student with an interest in writing or a unique activity that you think others should know about? Pharmacy Times has opportunities to write both for the web and for our biannual Pharmacy Careers publication. Reach out to the address in the episode description to learn more. Now back to the show. We're also in the midst of the holiday season, which can come with a lot of expenses. How do you recommend students think about budgeting for the holidays?
Yeah, the holidays, right? I think it's a love-hate relationship we have sometimes in terms of the joy it brings with family and friends and celebrations, but no doubt the financial stressor it brings, right? I'm feeling it, you know, this month as well, as my wife and I are trying to, you know, find those gifts for our four boys and what is the good fit. And I think ideally, and let's talk about ideal scenario first, and then, hey, what can we do short term? Ideally, you know, we know these expenses are coming every year, right? And so I remember, you know, somebody gave me the advice once of like, hey, Tim, like December is not a surprise, right? And I was like, yeah, good point. Not a surprise. And so, you know, if possible, can we make small contributions each month throughout the year so that when we get to the month of December, you know, we can spend with confidence on those gifts that we prioritize. Of course, we've got a budget for it, but we can do so without the stress of, man, this is really going to derail me and it's stressful. And then also I'm going to be limping into the new year. And that's the other piece we got to really think about is we want to approach the new year with momentum and confidence. Now, that's kind of the textbook answer, right? We all know that the reality is we've got other competing expenses that are taking up our time and energy throughout the year. So here we are in the month of December, and we've got things that we want to do in terms of gifts or experiences. One of my words of encouragement for students is, remember, a lot of people probably in your closest circle understand the situation that you're in, and perhaps articulating that and having some conversations would take the pressure off. What do I mean by that? Your colleagues, your classmates, your peers, obviously your family also knows the situation that you're in. You know, are there experiences? Are there other things that you can be doing together that may not necessarily have that monetary or as significant of a monetary component of a gift that once we say it out loud, folks kind of are all on the same page of, ah, yes, I'm glad you said it, right? I also was thinking about it, and maybe we get together for an evening, or we do this activity. And I think we often know that those experiences sometimes bring the greatest memory and the joy anyways, but perhaps we don't feel comfortable starting that conversation. And so if we are going to give gifts, I think, you know, setting that budget, trying to hold true to that, you know, bringing personalized items on top of gifts to reduce the amount that we're spending on gifts. You know, I think really nice written notes and letters and other types of things, I think is a great way to be able to achieve the same goal, but perhaps have less of a negative impact on one's financial situation.
Ideally, we have budgeted ahead of time and stuck with that budget for holiday spending. But for many of us, January is a time to kind of regroup and get back on track. How can pharmacy students think about the year ahead when they're doing their budgeting and planning?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, for those of you that feel like, man, like another holiday season went by and I feel like I'm kind of limping into the new year financially. First of all, give yourself some grace. You've got a lot of things going on in terms of, you know, school, debt, priorities, and so forth. And in the scheme of things, if we zoom out for a moment, it's probably not as bad as it may feel in the moment, right? So give yourself some grace. And then I think, of course, we've got to get a plan set forward for the new year that is both realistic, but also is inspirational. And I think for students, some of these may not be as much monetary, but are things that we want to learn, implement, budgeting, you know, types of processes, setting goals, reading certain financial books, listening to certain podcasts, attending certain webinars. So again, things that we're going to keep ourselves accountable to throughout the year that are going to push ourselves a little bit forward to continue to press our financial plan on in the right direction, but you know, may or may not have as tangible as a monetary goal that's attached to them. So give yourself some grace. And then as we enter into the new year, let's get some tangible goals that we can keep track of and ultimately have a reward at the end of the year that's going to allow us to stay motivated.
Are there any unique financial considerations in 2022 for pharmacy students? I know student loan repayments will begin again soon, so that's definitely going to be a big consideration.
Yeah, right. 2022 is going to be a really interesting year for anyone with student loans, but obviously here we're thinking about pharmacists specifically, because we've had this pause on student loan payments and interest on qualifying federal loans, which is almost all federal loans, since the beginning of the pandemic and the passage of the CARES Act in March of 2020. So here we are almost 2 years later, and we have folks that have gotten used to 0% interest rates, right? So a freeze, and folks that may have been paying, you know, $1,500, $2,000 a month that haven't had to make those payments. And those dollars hopefully have been going elsewhere to move the financial plan forward, but might have gotten sucked up into different areas that we now have to reprioritize those dollars back to student loans. So it's going to be an adjustment. I think probably a little bit of a painful adjustment for many as we make the transition. For students specifically, what we need to understand is when you log on your student loan profile right now, you should see a 0% for any of your qualifying federal loans that are under that administrative forbearance. Well, come February, we're going to start to see those turn back on essentially. And so for our unsubsidized federal loans, which for pharmacy students is most of your student loan package, unsubsidized meaning the federal government is not subsidizing or paying for the interest on those loans, so that interest is accruing while you're in school and then is going to ultimately get added onto the principal and accrue baby interest, referred to as capitalization, once you get into active repayment. Now, why is that relevant? Well, if you've had 0%, that means you've been saving money while you're in school on interest. Essentially, it's acting like a subsidized loan. And here that's going to start accruing again. So we've got to get back into the mindset and discipline of what can I be doing as a student to borrow as little as I need to so that I'm going to accrue as little interest as possible. And this is where $500, $1,000 through, you know, the budgeting process, through adjusting cost of living expenses, through scholarships might not seem big in the moment, but it's going to matter, especially when we see this forbearance end and that interest begin to accrue again.
In addition to the academic side of pharmacy school, leadership roles are a great opportunity for pharmacy students. To learn more about this, I spoke with Anu Tirupasur and Madison Kim, first-year students at the Touro University California College of Pharmacy and founding president and vice president of a new budding scholars program there. So, Anu, you're the founding president. Can you tell me a bit about what the budding scholars program is?
So it is a new organization. It was really Dr. DeSalle. It was really his idea, wanting to expose students to go beyond just what we're taught within our curriculum, you know, to expand kind of our mental bandwidth, to think about different aspects of pharmacy, maybe not even within pharmacy, but how it could improve the profession itself. So we have scholarly discussions, and his idea is that he wants pharmacy students to develop critical thinking skills. So if you're passionate about something and you want to discuss it, or maybe you want to pursue it as a, you know, postgraduate degree after you finish pharmacy school. So that's pretty much what the organization, I think that's the roots. I think that's kind of like the heart of the organization.
That's a really great program. What has the process been like to be founding leaders of a new organization?
It's really exciting. It's really cool to be part of building this organization. Right now, we're just trying to get our feet off the ground. It has kind of been a nightmare trying to get our official approval, as Anu can tell you all about. But me and Anu are a really great team, and I'm really excited to build something together. It's going to be a really great experience.
Madison, in your own experience so far, what is the value of leadership positions for pharmacy students?
I also have experience as a leader in our mobile vaccination clinics that Toro runs. And that has just been absolutely the coolest experience for me. Because to me, when we're out in the field doing our careers, like, you're the expert, you're in charge of whatever it is you're doing. And having that opportunity to be a leader at those clinics gives me that professionalism to interact with patients and be a leader for patients, and to work with my classmates and be a leader for my classmates. So it really is a great way to practice the responsibility that we'll be tasked with once we graduate.
How do you think this experience will impact your careers as pharmacists?
You know, I think this gives me a really good foundation of what leadership means, like all of the little things that it entails. And I think going further, it has not changed my career path necessarily, but it has definitely opened my eyes to the point where I don't want to just be in the clinical space. I do want to venture out into big pharma or like biotech, you know, like those industries as well.
And I think for me, I'm not really sure what career path I want to take with pharmacy after graduation. So depending on the kind of stuff that we're doing in this club, I could find something that I really enjoy, and this club could change my whole career path.
Now we're going to do a bit of a rapid fire round. So first, what drew you both to the pharmacy field?
My dad is a pharmacist and he really inspired me growing up. So that's why I'm here. And my brother actually is a P2 also at Toro University. So it's kind of like we have a family thing going on.
That's so cute. Yeah, for me, it's the variability.
That's wonderful. Do you have a favorite study spot, like a cafe or library or maybe just your couch?
Right here. I never leave my room, and I basically am sitting at my desk for at least like 7 or 8 hours a day. So right here, that's where I'm at.
You're still first year pharmacy students, but what is something you wish you could tell yourself before you started pharmacy school?
I think don't take it too easy. Like my first two block exams, I think I was a little too relaxed and maybe a little too lax with studying. So I would say just there's no need to be too hard on myself, but don't be too relaxed as well. There is a balance.
I would tell myself starting pharmacy school, like I had really great habits at the start of the school year, and then they just kind of dipped, especially at our last set of exams. So I would tell myself, don't do that.
Did you figure out the answer to our pharmacy school fun fact? If you said Louisiana, you're right. Although licensure seems like a no-brainer now, no pharmacists were licensed until 1816, when Louis Dufilho Jr. became the first licensed pharmacist in the country. Louisiana passed this law in 1804, requiring a licensing exam for any pharmacists. Before that, anyone could compound and dispense medications. Thanks for listening to Study Break, a pharmacy focused series. If you enjoyed this month's episode, keep tuning in each month because we'll be including a monthly financial tip from Tim Ulbrich. Happy holidays!